Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let go. You're rolling with J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN on a hump day Wednesday. Yes, sir. And you know what? I am, as Jodeci once said, feigning. I'm feigning for a Grizzlies win. John just took his fake jump shot. There's no ball. You know, he likes to do the motion. I think it was a brick. But we're going to hope that everything goes through for him, for us, for Memphis, for the Grizzlies tonight as they play their fourth of five preseason games, still looking for that first preseason victory that has eluded us. Has eluded us. How important is it? I'll leave it for you to decide. But I would like a win. I would like a win. I think the Cavs, last year, everybody's been bringing this up, are like winless in the preseason. Cavs ended up being number one in the East. Anybody predicting Grizzly be number one in the West? It's not same. It's not same. You haven't had your stars out there, seen the supporting cast, but you haven't seen the supporting cast with the stars. And so we move to Charlotte tonight, and we'll see what happens. Good thing is these don't count. I'll tell you what. There was one fantastic computer rating for the Grizzlies. Did you see that from Kevin Pelton?
I did.
Simulation 620. Whew. Looked like jackpot to me for the Grizzlies. I don't know, because I guess you could flip it. We'll talk about that and how it might not be a good thing for the Grizzlies to win 50-plus games. Can't believe a computer said that. That's a good thing, though. Dodgers, congratulations. Starting pitching matters. That's what I'm going to say. I've been watching baseball from afar since my Cubbies got dispatched. Dodgers starters are going long distance. This stuff doesn't happen anymore. And they got a complete game performance last night from a man. I'm telling you what, he used to give my dad during this regular season ups. It was a roller coaster. Yamamoto went the distance.
Amazing.
I think it's been 8 years or something like that, 7, 8 years since we've seen a guy go the distance in the postseason. A starter? Dodgers up 2-0 on Brewers. We wore the Brewers out. You're welcome, Dodgers.
It's like when the Grizzlies took the Warriors to six, and they, like, you know, used to always credit the Grizzlies. Yeah. That's exactly what's going on here.
Yeah, you're welcome, Dodgers.
I want to say good morning.
Hello.
To my partner. I call him a revenue driver. That is what I call him. He's going to do a lot of that in 2026. He's going to continue to drive revenue, and we got some big plans for him every week. So be on the lookout for that. Memphis. Be on the lookout, Memphis, because my partner is about to drive some revenue in this mug.
Yeah.
But no, it's good to be here. It's been a very controversial morning. I don't mind, you know, sharing things like that. You know, I've gotten texts from not only my partner, but I've gotten texts from other people threatening, sending menacing messages. There's no doubt about that. One, Ben Hogan, who is trying to shake me down for entry fees, you know, and I told him I'm not giving you an interest-free loan. I'll pay when the season is done.
No, there's a deadline, or else you get kicked out. Now, yeah. This is ridiculous that
I think you're above
the law, Steven Seagal here.
I mean, it's 2025, man. You know, we don't need to pay in advance.
You're stealing players and you're stealing money this morning.
That's right. I am stealing players and stealing money. Many people are upset. You know, because, you know, they expect me to be a certain type of team. They expect me to be a doormat. They expect me to just be somebody that, you know, you just one notch on the bedpost. But I tell you this, man, what's the line from The Dark Knight?
Oh, gosh, here it comes.
You better batten down the hatches, Mr. Wayne. Okay? Because you're gonna wonder why and wonder how. You ate for so long and how you left so little for the rest of us. Yeah,
we'll get it about once a year before John checks out later in fantasy. Get that quote.
Rising up here from the ashes.
Yeah, so, I mean,
I knew it was about that time. You're feeling good. You pulled a swindle this morning George.
I pulled two swindles.
The Dan thing, I'm not going to discuss it. You got a tight end. You got a good tight end, George Kittle.
George was tired. He was up till 1 o'clock last night. You took advantage of
him. So, 92.9 FM fantasy players are angry this morning about some of the things that have transpired.
I'm seeing it now.
And where's our commish? To at least on this one with George and John to put the kibosh on it.
He should double your entry fee.
Absolutely right.
Right, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Goes into the pot.
But there's no question that a shakeup is coming in the league. Is anybody else still playing? I mean, I'm the only one making trades.
You are, though, still the lowest scoring team in fantasy.
That's why I'm being aggressive. That's why I'm having to make these moves. Because
you're basically the Wizards making moves.
That's right. That is all about it. See, but people don't like it when the Wizards make big moves because they're like, wait a minute, you're supposed to be the Wizards. You're supposed to be the bottom feeder.
Well, they never get over on anybody, and that's what you've done with King George. I thought his football acumen was a little higher.
Here's the trade.
But Brad has provided an explanation that he was delusional after a late night.
No, because, the shoe is about to go on the other foot because I got a text message from somebody this morning. I'll say it. It was Jason. And it was not good morning. Mm-mm. It was not how you doing. I'm looking forward to a fun show. It was a menacing text, an intimidating text, and some very pointed words towards George. There's no question about that. And for this trade, the trade in question is Nico Collins and Alvin Kamara for Jonathan Taylor, Indianapolis Colts. That's who I'm receiving. I'm sending out Nico Collins and Alvin Kamara. Nico Collins, undisputed number one wide receiver with a record-setting quarterback in Houston in CJ Stroud. What a snag for George, who is indeed in a very precarious spot with no Puka. No Puka for the next 2 weeks at minimum. Because he got the bye week coming back from London. So then I take advantage of a man who was wounded. There is no question about that. But when you draft well and you have the assets, you strike. And that's what we did.
George gave up the number two running back in fantasy for two players that are not top 20 at their positions in Nico and Kamara. So I get, feeling thin right now. You had the number one receiver in Nacua, and he's going to be out 2 weeks, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Has that been ruled on yet? Either way.
He's probably going to miss.
It's not long term.
No, well.
And then he had the number two back in Jonathan Taylor. He decided to give that to John instead and go for two not top 20 players out there. Again,
that's right.
I don't understand it. Was a little ticked off, but we're moving. We're moving on.
Well, we're moving on.
We'll see how George. We have wished George well.
Yes,
I think
we have.
Played like a funky piano, as they used to say back in the day.
Wow.
By a guy who, a veteran GM, who absolutely abused his power this morning.
Unbelievable.
George is not a subordinate. This was not a promise of anything.
Yeah.
You're like the damn Lakers.
Many people wonder if money is being funneled from one team to the other for a trade like this.
Is it
many
better or worse than the Luka trade? Like, is it more uneven than the Luka trade?
Dude, they got back. In terms of Dallas itself, what they got back?
Like Anthony Davis. They got
Anthony Davis.
Christie.
Where's the all-star in Kamara and Nico?
Nope. I mean, Nico.
Let's not act like there's a high ceiling for Nico with CJ Stroud struggling right now in year three.
You know, I think.
So I would say
George is
to
a believer. I think he sees the vision,
man. He's going Moneyball. It's going to fail.
That was his response. He says he's going Moneyball.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'm ticked off enough about this to have to open the show on it.
Well, so please, I think we needed to address it a bit. Ben Hogan said he is going to lock my team if I don't pay. This is just unsolicited.
That's been a rule.
Out of nowhere. I missed Indigenous Peoples Day. I will try to make the Halloween deadline or the Thanksgiving deadline.
Yeah, that's the Harvest Festival deadline.
Right. As long as I don't.
And you keep laughing.
See
you guys we talked about this.
Pastor Tracy is going to have to get on Brad.
Yeah, you guys don't take it seriously like you should.
Now, I met Pastor. Have you met Pastor Tracy?
No. Oh, at the, yeah, yes.
Oh, yeah, I have.
Oh, yeah, okay. How long has it been?
A week.
A week. Oh, gotcha.
I met him.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah. Well, you need to have a real in-depth
sit down. I need a little more depth.
That's exactly right because...
Ghouls, goblins, and 666s. We rebuke that.
Brad's not a Halloween guy like that, are you?
I am annoyed. I have neighbors that are going bananas with these bones and skeletons.
Yeah,
and
some of the stuff's 10 feet, 20 feet tall in their yard.
It's worse than the dog crapping in Jason's yard level of hate.
And he came back, and we put up a sign.
Oh, you put a sign up.
And so we're monitoring.
Oh, you put a sign, don't have dog crap in my yard.
Don't disrespect our yard. Oh, it's along those lines, and it has a picture of a dog crapping with an X through it.
That's unreal.
Now, the delivery drivers have paid it no attention. No attention whatsoever. FedEx just walked right through the yard. They don't care. My wife had predicted that. But I'm watching for the man. I'm watching for him because I've put it, the sign, right in the space, right in that area where his dog craps.
This is great.
So now if he does it, I don't care, again, if he picks it up. That's homeowner association rules. But if he does it now, it is automatic violation with those signs. And I've got two signs perfectly placed. My wife bought them.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Good luck.
I don't know about if it's awesome. We're going to see how effective it is.
And then if it, let me ask you this.
He was back after a month. He stayed away 4 weeks. I've got the dates written down now.
If it's not effective, what measures can you take?
Well, it's going to have to be a matter of tracking him down at that point.
Right.
And we're going to have a man-to-man, aren't we?
I think so.
Right. Because he likes to play in my home, in my front yard. He likes to right there be in my home, my area.
Yep.
How about I approach him at his door?
Ooh.
And just face to face. Christian to
yep.
To no, whoever. You can't assume.
That's what, but
I don't think Christian would do this.
He's going to say, hey, man, you're always in my yard. Mm-hmm. Here I am. Let's have a talk. But, do you see these signs? It's going to go along, though. Very Christian.
Yeah.
But at that point,
I think half of the aisle.
And you know what? If I don't, my wife will think I'm a simp.
There's no doubt about that.
Brad's laughing, but you guys know it to be true.
No,
as the head of household at that point, after she's bought the signs,
yep. Mm-hmm.
And I have placed them in the yard.
Yeah.
If we once again have this now, it would be trespass.
Yeah, Faith's going to force the issue.
She's going to force it. And so that's why I take it by the horns. I don't even wait on a force. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'll be ready.
Yeah, I think you will be.
I'll put on some my Grizzbeat attire, and I'll go formally over there.
Grizzbeat today, 3 o'clock on Grass City Media. Jason going to be hosting. The only controversy.
Sharp Wednesdays.
The only controversy is whether or not a jacket will make an appearance. There is no jacket currently, but he does pull the okey-doke on us typically on the radio. He will pop out on YouTube with a jacket. Mm. So
stay tuned.
Yes, that's I'm on jacket watch over here, brother. Norton Hurd IV is going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to him about what's going on in Memphis. Cello Jackson is going to be making his decision in a couple of weeks. Memphis is on that list. Murray State is making some waves. Murray State has got a couple of Memphis guys in on visits in 2026. I don't know if they'll be Memphis-level prospects, obviously, and we know that Memphis doesn't recruit a ton of high school kids. That's why this Cello Jackson was kind of interesting. It's like, this is the first time, you know, him and Fred Smith, right, feel like the guys that they have, you know, really recruited at any real, you know, intensity level in the new era. So we'll talk to Hurd about all of that and more in just a little bit. Then at 1:25, Jason Fitz is going to join us from Yahoo Sports, of course. We'll talk to him about the Tennessee Titans. Mike Vrabel making his return. What are the Titans doing? What is the plan? You know, are they going to be able to, you know, get an attractive coach there with that organization? I wonder, like, that could be a thing. Like, the roster is intriguing, but do I want to work in that organization, which looks from the outside to be a complete circus?
Fair. So how much power does the general manager actually wield?
Yep.
Now that's the question.
Exactly.
And do you believe in it?
Yes.
You know, that's going to be the question for the next head coach there.
So,
but, I mean, you have a number one pick to work with.
You do. Board. Yes.
I don't think it's much different than how Ben viewed Caleb.
And you're going to have a top five pick again.
Now, Ben got to watch Caleb twice against Detroit last season, and Caleb was pretty good in those games, didn't throw any interceptions. Now, who knows if the new coach will be playing sort of against Cam and have more of an idea of what he's got because, you know, you've seen him up close and personal. But, man, I'm also interested to see what Fitz thinks about, you know, game day possibilities at this point. Does he kind of go along with us or does he think there's still a real possibility for Memphis and South Florida?
Exactly. So we will talk to Fitz about all of that at 1:25. But, you know, I think the thing that we need to do, Jason, the thing that we need to make sure while you talk about game day, and this kind of just gets us to where we were probably going to end up anyway, is it just don't – you can't be looking ahead, man. You know –
Ryan's not.
We're not even talking about it. We're not even saying the words – game and day. We're not even using those in our vocabulary right now. It is all about the UAB Blazers, which, I mean, look, I get it. I mean, philosophically, you know, it's important to keep what's in front of you in front of you. But on the other hand, it's like, I mean, you could look ahead of UAB and still win by two touchdowns probably. Like that's, you know, that's the issue here is that they are such a disaster of a program. But I do understand. I think it's smart not to invest any energy into it, especially because it feels like it's not even likely. So why would you waste any energy on a thing that may be unlikely anyway. I think that's probably the place I'd start.
Well, smart play by Ryan. It's the way to go, and it's the way to really forget play. It's the mental state you want your team in, you know, ahead of a big game. And now listen, Ryan's got a bunch of examples, and we've sort of seen, we saw it with UCLA, that sort of help him, because you know, we saw the deal with UCLA. Interim coach comes in, gets a win off top, and that's going to help you this week in terms of keeping guys focused and making sure they're not focusing on the possibility of game day or more importantly, the game against South Florida and the outcome of that game. So smart way to play it, and Ryan's pushed all the right buttons. He has pushed all the right buttons so far this season. It's about to turn up. Mm-hmm. This is sort of before it really the heat turns up. This is kind of that last one. Make sure everything's good. You know, you're clicking on all cylinders. Everything's oiled up. Health coming out of this one. I would just say no need. I don't care if they're trying to get penalties on you, whatever else. Because listen, they might try to do that to you. I need, if this thing's under control, I need Brendan Lewis and those guys out of the game in the fourth quarter. Just to, again, preserve every chance I've got, every bit of health I've got for South Florida next week. Because UAB's that type of team. Yes, they could get a little coaching bump in terms of the speech and everything else. But that talent level is nowhere near yours. Put them away three quarters. Don't play until the fourth and preserve
yes.
as much as you can. Those are the ways to do it. And to this point, like I said, I think the way to come back is that Ryan has really navigated this thing beautifully so far. You'd have to say damn near perfection.
Yes. No, that's absolutely right. And
the way he's handled the expectations, the rise of the expectations yes. as the season has gone on, being 6-0.
Now, it's going to get serious in a minute. You know, I mean, it's going to
get... Kirby Smart thing was one thing. I guess perfection is one thing. But
yeah.
That's neither here nor there, and it's in the past.
Yeah, it is in the past, and they handled business that next week.
They
so,
did.
You know, I mean, it looked bad for a minute, and then you know they ended up winning. That's all that matters. But it's going to get serious really quickly, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about it. We'll have all next week to talk about this game with South Florida coming in here. But, I mean, listen, this South Florida team is very real. They've done it on the road, not just at North Texas, but they beat Florida at Florida. So while Memphis has won at home a lot, I guess the better way to say it is they very rarely lost at home under Ryan Silverfield. This South Florida team is not going to be intimidated by the road environment because that's where they've thrived this year anyway. So I think that's the – I mean, it's just this is what it's all about. I mean, if Memphis wins this game, they're in the front driver's seat, and if they lose, they're going to be behind the eight ball.
We focused a lot on the former, the thing you said about winning the game. We haven't focused as much, and I heard you say it with Jeff, on if you lose the game and the back-to-the-wall position that you put yourself in with even just one
yep.
loss in the American.
Yep.
And especially with Navy and Tulane still to play.
Yep.
So that's the thing about this game. The other side of it, everything that's on the table for you right now, we're talking about Ryan Silverfield pushing all the right buttons. This thing's looked perfect at 6-0. Could all be, you know, in real jeopardy if you lose just this one.
Absolutely.
Against a South Florida opponent that is outstanding. I'll just say it. In terms of an American team this year, they're right there with you, if not better than you.
Yep.
John said it. I mean, it's not just going to Florida. They handled Boise State. I know Boise State's coming across. I don't care. I mean, that's a win where, again, you put the American out ahead with that win. So we'll take it as a notch. And again, you watch the South Florida team, what they did in that second half against North Texas, a previously undefeated team. They dismantled them.
Right.
So you could very well, and we haven't talked as much about it because of everything that's on the table for Memphis, because they've seemingly been the pick up until now.
Yep.
You could easily be making just as much case. Memphis is going to lose this. You got one loss, and then all of a sudden you still got Tulane and Navy on the schedule in a year where two losses in the American might keep you out. Because if South Florida doesn't have one and Tulane's got just one, even if it's you, and you got two, hey, you've lost to Navy, you're out. So, again, Tulane, look at their American schedule. It's very advantageous.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And it looks, I think, you know, I don't know what the tiebreakers are, Jason. I'm just looking at the standings in front of me. Like, you could lose, then beat Tulane, then beat Navy. You know, what North Texas' schedule is still soft, and they only have that one loss. And if you and North Texas' shared loss is South Florida, you know, I don't know. I guess that would come down to maybe college football playoff ranking. I'm not sure how that tiebreaker would be broken, but you would be leaning on those. You would be hoping that you have those.
Mm-hmm.
You probably would have those if you lose South Florida but beat Tulane and Navy.
Again, in basketball, it's, you know, your record against the top. You start getting into that. Now, with you, like you're saying, that ranking, I've seemed to, in football, there's something there that might be there ahead of it with your ranking and the college football playoff rankings. I'm not sure or not, but
yeah. So here it is. So if there's a two-team tie for first place, obviously both teams play for the championship. In the event that two teams are tied for second place, which is the scenario that we would be talking about here, because South Florida would be in, having won over Memphis and North Texas, right? Head-to-head result would break the tie. Memphis and North Texas do not play. Could not go to that. If the two teams did not play, the team with higher CFP rankings will be in the championship mm-hmm. game. So it comes down to that. Mm-hmm. And I think Memphis would get the nod there. Because North Texas was never in the rankings, and they, you know, so and I think Memphis would be in a better position there. But that's only in the scenario.
And you're saying that's in a scenario where Memphis has lost to South Florida, but beat Tulane.
Correct.
Head to head has Tulane out of it.
Yeah, and then beat Navy.
Because they're only going to lose one.
Because remember, North Texas doesn't play anybody other than Navy. The rest of it's just slop. So I'm just kind of pricing in that they're only going to have that one loss to South Florida the rest of the year. They could have more, but I'm. Worst case scenario, I'm assuming they don't lose. Yeah, they could lose to Navy. You know, they could. I don't know. They could lose to anybody. Anybody can lose to anybody on any given day. But I mean, if we just price that in, maybe it's still in front of you. Now you know you have no real room for error.
You were, man. I mean, again, there ain't no point in getting. And I hear what you. It's good to know,
right?
But if you don't beat Tulane. If you lose to both Tulane and South Florida, it feels done. Mm-hmm. That's my point.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to
beat them. It would be done, yeah.
And so it will be easy to get to two losses because these teams are capable. South Florida, certainly.
Yep.
Tulane, we'll see.
Yep.
But my point is it could all be taken away so quickly. When you talked about that with Jeff this morning, it's stark. It's we haven't talked as much about it, but so much of this that feels so good right now, this electricity could be taken away with just a couple of losses to some pretty good teams here. You'd still say, Man, the Tigers are looking good. Good season at one point. But it would be much the same feeling of wasting it.
Yes.
Wasting an opportunity that you've had the last couple of seasons.
Absolutely. But that's next week. We got to get the UAB Blazers.
Yeah, we kind of did it. We kind of looked past him. We said Ryan's.
I think it's okay for us too. You know,
yeah.
21.5-point favorites. No,
we
got to
do it. We got to do it.
And then, you know, it's the big one. And we'll see if game day's here. We'll see if it's on ESPN or ESPN2. But it's going to be a fun one. We'll come back. Norton Hurd, the fourth, is going to join us. We'll talk to him about Memphis basketball. New assistant coach for the Tigers, Roy Rogers, former NBA guy. We talked about him a little bit earlier this week. So we'll talk to Hurd about that, Memphis recruiting, and more. Jason and John, I'm turning for him, ESPN.
Norton Hurd, the fourth. He's a Team Thad program director and coach. Several Wave Media's top 100 most influential people in men's college basketball for 2025. We're expecting again for 2026. Mitchell High Product and Walker Homes Finest. You can follow him on X at Dream Big Hurd and on IG at I Am Coach Hurd. He joins us now like he does every Wednesday, 11:25. Coach Hurd, how are you? Coach Hurd, are you with me?
I'm great, Jason. No, I'm here. I'm here. I was taking it all in on this hump day. Oh, I'm great. I'm great, man. I'm great. How about yourself?
Doing well. And I tell you what, I want to start here with you, Hurd. I've been listening. I've been observing Penny Hardaway this preseason. Watched him at American Media Days with our friend Jeff Goodman, Rob Doster over there, those guys. And listening to him talk about the job and in some other interviews. And I'll be honest with you. It has surprised me, pleasantly, how much energy, how much juice, how much want to Penny still has going into year 8. He even joked about it. Is this year 8? He joked about it in one of his press availabilities. How much juice he still seems to have to want to do the job. You know, in an era where we are seeing some of the vets kind of say, you know what, this is, we saw Cal talk about it, I think yesterday, hey man, when it's transactional, I'm going to get out, whatever else. But Penny, ain't much younger, it feels like he can't wait for another crack at it this season. Has it surprised you if I said, you know, if we'd said going in, hey man, year 8, you know, for Penny Hardaway, the fact that the tenure's gone on this long and that he still seems to want to do it, a man who clearly millionaire could walk away, go play golf every day. That's part of this story. You surprised how much juice he still seems to have to want to do the job?
A little bit, but not really, because I know he's a student of the game. He loves the game of basketball. He loves the city. And one thing about that coaching thing, I'm sure y'all all know with any profession, you know, things happen along the way where you can lose, you know, a little love for the game here and there, and that might last a week or two, a month, but you get back, you know, a new year, new pieces. I think he's excited about it. I think he's still young. When you hear 8, you're 8, it do make you feel like, you know, for us people who getting older, like, life actually goes fast, right? Because it don't even feel like that, right? I would think, I was just telling y'all last week, think John Jaren at 7 and 8. So that lets you know how quick life goes. But with that being said, I think Penn is as motivated as ever. I think one thing about a coach, what we're not seeing, and I'm supposed to get over there to practice soon, but what we're not seeing is, you know, it's certain guys on that roster that he's probably more excited about than the world knows, than any of us know, right? That he knows, like, holy shoot, that, you know, this is a good situation, you know, with this person and this person, you know, I think we got a, you know, a chance to make a run at it. So, no, I think that he is he loves it, and it's showing.
All coaches are competitive. I would certainly say that about you and any other coach I've ever known. I wonder what you think about this, and maybe we can rule it out. You tell us. But do you think Penny having his career, his playing career, cut short? Right, there's always the what could have been if his knees hadn't gone bad on him. You know, we talk about the surgery, whatever else, and man, what he would have been in this day and age. But I just wonder if the what ifs of his playing career have not just preserved, but maybe like kept that fire, that flame going as it relates to coaching. Do you think it factors in at all, the fact that it got cut off, in terms of him staying this competitive? Because that's clearly a part of the.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The man's competitive. That's why, you know, I know that's a part of why he wants back at it.
I'm not sure, but I think that he will be competitive no matter if he played 20 years or 5. I just think it's in him. I'm watching, you know, how fiery, you know, Thad is slowly becoming on the sideline as he in. I watch Jermaine O'Neal. I watch Chris Paul on the sidelines, you know, watch LeBron. Some of it was because of his son. So, no, I just think those guys that can give so much to the game, and it's like, okay, if they're not hooping no more, and golf is great, right? But how long can you play golf, right? And not calling any rich person out or any NBA player out, but like, how much is golf impacting anybody, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a fun hobby or it's a profession, but the things you're doing now, although it's a job and the people get on your butt if you don't, you know, when you also putting a big impact. Coaching is a way bigger impact than even playing the game.
Yeah, I was watching a interview from Birmingham. I want to say it was with I think it was with Roman Cleary. He had a chance to sit down with Penny and they were talking, and he basically, you know, asked him that question: why are you still in the foxhole, is the way he put it. You know, why are you still doing it? And Penny said, because I have to get this program back to where I want it. You know. Wanted to do it. I wanted to see this through. And then basically, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving.
Look, there's a civic pride wrapped in that, too.
You know, that scene from Wolf of Wall Street, Heard. You ever seen that one? Where he goes, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. I'm not freaking leaving. That was Penny. He was like, I'm not leaving unless they remove me physically before I get this program back to. I don't know if he put like a championship thing on it, but honestly, I feel like if he got the program back to the second weekend and if he wanted to call it, he would call it. But it sounds like he's not leaving until he fulfills that obligation. Because that's right, Jason. You heard it. It almost feels like a civic obligation for him that he has to do this.
Yeah, and I think what he mean by getting it back is something y'all have alluded to time and time on this show. I think he mean like consistently Sweet 16. I think that's the elephants in the room when you talk to fans. I don't think nobody's saying championship because – we can't get it back to that because we never won a championship, right? I don't want people to get mad at me for saying
that. No, it's true.
I think getting it back, man, I mean, in y'all words, with like Sweet 16 once every 3-4 years would kind of be a high-standard program, so somewhere in that ballpark. So I think that's what he mean. And, you know, although we got to still hold him accountable, that's some of the reason I feel like when we get a little crazy this year, which we should as media and we have to hold people accountable, I just think what he st- stands for this job, like he should always have this job as long as he won't, granted, any crazy thing come out, right? I just do, because when you factor in, which we, you know, we're not trying to give nobody a pass for this, you know, he have done good on the court, but it's just like a lot of coaches are doing this because they need to do this or they want to maintain their lifestyle. He's actually embedded in the University of Memphis basketball. He actually can live the lifestyle he wants to live for the rest of his life without ever picking up a job again. So I think you have to. I know some people say that has nothing to do with the winning and losing, but I think you have to put, you know, factor that in.
I'm stuck on something that you said earlier in an answer that to finish it off. I think, you know, that's got me thinking about Cal, thinking about Penny. Okay, we had Cal on last week. He touched on it again. I think yesterday in an interview, but that coaches can have a bigger impact is what you said than players. And I used to think, this was me when Cal would shoot out that, you know, my players have gone to the NBA and gotten those second contracts and it's this many billion dollars now, that was, you know, as much a part of his recruiting pitch as anything else. But then you listen to him and John will tell, you know, John knows Antonio Burks. He said he's told us. You know, John knows this. Antonio Burks gets a text from Cal. You know, he's not one of the millionaires or billionaires or whatever else, but yet he's still in Burks' life. I'm sure he's still in guys like Andre Allen's life. And he talked about it like having the impact on players, not just development on them as basketball players, but the families, man, that you affect and potentially generations. Like you think about Anthony Davis now in the position that, you know, his family's in for years. And it's not just Anthony Davis. There's a row of folks. You can, in terms of it, I guess if what, you reach the top, maybe you don't have to do that. But there's such an impact to be had. I'm sure in terms of, you know, what you do, there's a part of that. Because even if it's, you know, these college scholarships that you're so proud of, that is an opportunity for a young man that could potentially change his family's lives.
Oh, yeah. And even more now you got NIL. But before NIL, which it has gotten crazy now too, though, but you know, I helped a lot of, or our program was fortunate to help a lot of inner city kids, you know, Jason and John, that didn't have some of the guidance before us. You know, we didn't had kids come through this program, you know, first college graduates of their family. You know, we didn't had kids come through this program from, you know, North Memphis, South Memphis, Orange, you know what I mean? And so didn't come from a, you know, the most educated background family, but you know, through this and the sport and stuff, they have went to some of the most prestige, you know, universities in the country and have gotten scholarships, right? And so, you know, that's something we don't talk about, although, you know, we talk about NBA and we talk about millionaires. To us on this phone or to most listeners, that's regular people coming out your family. But for a guy from a, you know, bad situation in Memphis to do that, that changed the whole dynamic of even the way people in his community look at life, you know what I mean? And so it helps a lot from that standpoint. So, yeah, coaching, you know, playing basketball, you're more focusing on your career and you're more focusing on your stats and you're more focusing on making more money. Coaching is more of a dynamic of a lot of things, from mentor relationship, you know, building a family bond, and just a lot of other things that take place on just the development of you on and off the court and not just basketball, but as a human being.
Talking to Norton Hurd, the fourth program director and coach of Team Thad. Hurd, I want to ask you about Cello Jackson. I know he's not one of yours, right? He didn't play for Team Thad?
No.
Okay.
No.
But I'm going to ask because he's a Memphis native and his decision is coming up. He's a four-star kid at 247. And he's making his decision on November the 1st, and his list is as follows: Memphis, Cal, Texas State, Murray State, and Arkansas State. And obviously, you know, Memphis, I would assume, would be the favorite here, but I'm more curious to, like, that list. You know, you've been around recruiting long enough to know that if if you have a four-star kid who is ranked in the top 120, like, he's gonna have Power 4. Power 5. He's going to have some Baylor in there. He's going to have some Florida State in there. Like, he's going to have some. And is this just a sign of the times where those schools don't even bother? Like, if you're out of the top 30 or top 35 and you're a high school senior, like, these Power 4 teams just aren't wasting time because of the transfer portal?
Yeah, I think it's a little of that, John. And then, you know, you got certain schools now that know go harder at those kids, right? Or they sell to them, look, come here, play now, I double your money. You know, so you got a lot of that going on, and guys want to get on the floor. On the flip side, John, before I get deep into Cello, because he didn't play for me, but I love his game. His Uncle Marlon and Mama have done a great job with him, MD. But on the flip side, some of those kids come back around because, like, you know, I know y'all probably know this, is no no walk-ons anymore. They're just doing 15 scholars now, right? And so because of that, you're always going to see some kids going to some bigger schools because after, like, the 6, 7, or 8, the schools are kind of drawing money. So at that point, they're going to go get some kids that, you know, don't really need as much money that still want to, but can hoop a little bit that still want to be a big part of it. That's going on, too. But with Cello, he's from this city. Think he won a couple states at FACS under Wilkes. I know they won one. I think they won two. And so he plays really hard, man, and he represents Memphis like no other. Got some good things on his list. I was just talking to someone last night or the night before. People think that Memphis is a favorite, but I know y'all didn't even ask me for this, but the streets are saying watch out for Murray State. Mm. So we shall see.
Well, you know, we certainly know the ties there. But you know, it's interesting you bring that up, Herb, because Jason and I were having this conversation off the air. And not that we don't want – we want every Memphis kid to go to Memphis. Like, obviously, we want Memphis kids to stay home and thrive for the University of Memphis. But Jason and I were talking about it, and it's almost like, hey, if you're getting any NIL, obviously you're probably going to get the most at Memphis. But if you're getting any NIL at a Murray State or a Texas State or a Arkansas State, isn't it better for the kid long-term and in the short term to go take the maybe lesser NIL at one of those schools, but play, and then parlay that into a bigger payday? It may even be from Memphis, right? It may even be from Memphis in a year or two. But isn't it better for the kid? Because we know what's going to happen if you come to a place or a school the caliber of Memphis as a freshman. You're not going to play. Like, you're just not going to play. You're going to sit there, and yeah, you're going to get your practice and all that, but like, you go to Texas State or Murray State, you're going to have a chance to actually get on the court and contribute. Like, if you were advising a kid in the 100s, like, what would you tell them?
So, I mean, let's take Memphis out of it. If you were advising them to go mid-major or high major, yeah, mid-major is safer. But you still got to be good because you got to understand now, like, you can't – like, you got to go there and still do your job because even the mid-majors have a lot of high-major transfers who's trying to do the same thing, right, that's trying to come back. So, you know, you have some JUCO. So it's very competitive. But like you said, I am the type to feel like you should go where you go play in this situation or any situation just because I know once you able to put up stats, now you can really go. And I don't want to use negotiation because I don't think that's what they want you to use in the NCAA, but you're able to show your product and your worth more. Let me say that because you have – college resume and you have a resume at that point and you can go in there and you can handle your business. Now what's funny, John, because I hear you keep saying Texas State is selling their self now and you're starting to see them on lists which you never probably heard of them before. I don't know if y'all have. I hadn't as much because they're in the Pac-12 next year or the year after. So
right, right,
their self.
Right.
Is like that's why they kind of been aggressive and they're selling themselves like a almost high major now or in their head or whatever.
Heard the job of a city school basketball coach, high school basketball coach in Memphis Shelby County Schools. You know, back in my day, I was covered that Mitchell team that we've talked about the talent that was on that team with Thad, yes, but Brandon Powell went to Florida. I think Thornton had offers, like how you know, a bunch of Division I talent all on a city school team. You know, Keelan had the Watkins and Williams that on that team that went undefeated. Those guys, Division I, all a bunch of those guards were Division I caliber. Are those days over for the city school coach? You know, with things having gone, whether it's the private school route, more athletes taking that route, even out of the, you know, sort of the city school ranks sometimes, and you also see Now, you know, the municipalities, the Bartletts and everything else, they're sort of on the outside. They've got a separate group of resources. Are those days of those kind of coaches, you know, those city school coaches having four or five Division I guys, maybe it's two or three, are those behind us?
So I would definitely say any school within 100 miles of here or in this state having four or five is definitely out of the question. Okay. But if we're talking two, three, we definitely probably, yeah, that might be over with two because you're going to have to go municipal. The municipal schools and the private schools, I don't know if they got that much, that many resources or just the inner city schools just don't have any. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. You see what I'm saying? Because even with that, it's only so much, you know, anybody can do in TSWA, you know, and things like that, you know. But it is people that's being aggressive right now. I think, and I don't want to miss nobody out, but I want to give love where love is due. But I think, you know, Broadcrest have kept a certain standard to you know, there can be a school that a good D1 go to. I think Bartlett, but as you said, it's municipal. You know, I think Bartlett have shown their worth here lately. I think FACS did a good job doing their stretch. I think St. George, you know, certain teams. If you want to say inner city, hold on, let me rewind.
Whitehaven.
Willie has done a good job there the last 3 years.
Right.
He have tackled the ground. And Whitehaven has always been a good, vibrant school, good principal, one of the, you know, better supportive schools in the inner city. And Willie coming on with what he brings, Whitehaven has been good. So I definitely want to give them that credit. And it's flipping a little bit in the city. You want me to tell you what's crazy? That I'm starting to see offers from inner city schools, though, from football right now. Like Melrose is coming back. Whitehaven Central is good this year. Germantown, Southwind. Like, I'm starting to see multiple D1 offers in football right now from inner city schools.
Interesting. Getting serious.
Yeah, they've been shining this year in the football side. He's absolutely right about that.
My guy at Germantown, Gene Robinson. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I assume he's probably tops on that list. I mean, he's done a hell of a job there. At Germantown the last couple of weeks, or years, I should say. Let me ask you about this, Herd. Penny Hardaway set to hire Roy Rogers, former NBA player, former Memphis Hound Dog of the ABA, as an assistant. In 2025, how important is assistant coach in college basketball?
You know, I go back and forth with that because at one point, the guys that can really, really talk, shake and move, build relationships, to me, they was the done daughter. Mm-hmm. And then it felt like at the beginning of the NIL era, then it became more the, you know, transactional. So then it's like, well, we got the money anyway. This kid can do this. As I've been going along with some of my kids to different visits lately and, you know, SEC visits in Memphis, I still feel like that guy that can, you know, recruit really good still holds some type of value, you know, especially if he had a school with money, the relationship still, you know, now you're like, okay, these two, three people all got money, and it's all a good situation, then I think you still will lean towards, you know, the guy that, you know, has the most relationships with you, right? But the money thing have definitely changed it, and I think a team like Penny, I've been talking to Nate Oaks a little bit like this, they still do like NBA feel in their gymnasium. You feel what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I, when I saw that hire, I felt like it was good, not to count dude pockets and then they put it out there. So I don't think it really hurt the budget, but it really gave, you know, Penny. I think he's always wanting to evolve and the college coaches to have some NBA feel in there because that's everybody go, right, to go to the NBA, right? So you want to kind of be a step ahead of everything going forward. But to answer your question, John, I think it's coming back to where the recruiter is still important, although it felt like at one point it was going away to that.
I'll borrow a question from Bluff City Media. They asked Penny that question. John had alluded to it earlier. What keeps you in the foxhole, Herd? What keeps you coming back each year, wanting to climb that mountain again?
Oh, what John said, like the movie, I'm not going anywhere, right?
Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, but seriously, I mean,
you've lost some hair, haven't you? You've gotten a little older and a little grayer, haven't you? I think that, you know, your hairline back there looking a little better than mine, but it's gone back a little bit, hasn't it? I mean, this is stressful.
Well, that's going to happen with age, even if you're working at Piccadilly or McDonald's or that's just the most polite place, right? Yep,
that Piccadilly stress, yes.
Yeah, so it comes with a level of stress and things of that nature. Like I say, everybody, I think, has days where certain innocent, you know, can make them lose some love for the game or whatever. But, like, I think if you're in it for the right reason, like, you got to understand, John, even though I'm older but still kind of younger for my – see, I've been in this thing almost 15 years. I started at a very young age, right? So so I tell people, even if I'm a modern car or up-to-date car, it's like I got 200,000 miles on me, right, like a car.
Yes.
So it's like for me, though, it's still people who need our help. We have done such a great job. So usually even if I say I'm going to get away for a minute, it end up being a group of kids or people that we feel like we obligated to doing right by and right by this city. So although it do get tougher and tougher, and you're in an industry where it's always somebody wants something, right? Somebody wants something different, right? I talked to some guys who do pro scout now, right? And they was in my shoes a year or two or three ago. And I'm like, do you miss it? And they like their lifestyle as an NBA pro scout, although they don't make what college coaches make. But their biggest thing was they miss coaching. But in reality, like when you in our position, somebody always wants something. They like a big relief for that is gone. Like when you in our position, somebody won't be on your team. Somebody want to help you get them in a camp. Somebody needs you to do college coach. Somebody needs you to speak to somebody. Somebody needs some shoes. Somebody. I mean, it's just all. They gonna call you at any time, 6 a.m. I was in New York. I didn't know you was on the West Coast. You know what I'm saying? So it's like it's unbelievable, right? But I just feel like at the end of the day, man, it has been great to so many people, and we gonna keep it, you know, going as long as we can, and not to piggyback on what Penny said, because I don't have $1 million or a country club golf course to go to, right? But I will say this, if I ever decide to leave, I definitely need Team Thad to be in very high position like we are, right? And it's in position where me leaving, like some great programs, when a guy like me left, it collapsed after a year or two, I would want everything in place that it continued to go on, because this is a staple in our city for the last 15 years, but I think this is a staple that should even go on forever, even after I'm old and gone and other people old and gone. This can be a staple that help people forever, and so I need to be at that when I'm ever willing to step away.
You sound like Bruce Pearl or Kelvin Sampson going to hand it off to a family member.
That's
all the only person you're going to trust it with.
No, somebody who's trustworthy but qualified, right? So I don't know anyone in my family that I know that's qualified for it. And then Thad is out to go to if he think anybody. But we got some good people in our program, Pruitt and Tony and other just good guys that are tank. You know, we got some good guys, and it's just more so about them understanding the other side. And I'm not saying I'm going nowhere soon either, right? I ain't trying to retire you today,
Herd.
Yeah, walk down
memory lane.
15 years I've been doing this. There you go.
Still a young man.
Herd, you're the best, man.
Thank you, Coach.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'll take care.
Yes, sir. He is Norton Herd, the fourth program director and coach of Team Thad
Game's
Nation.
Changed so much just in the time that he's been.
It really has changed, man. I mean, I know I say this all the time, but like, back in my day, we had to walk 15 miles in the snow. You know, it mattered when the kids went on official visits. You know, it was like a thing you chased. It mattered when, oh, man, Austin Nichols is going to be at Memphis Madness, dude.
Yep.
because it meant like he chose that weekend
which visit was the last visit mattered. I mean, all that
first
stuff.
And last, yeah. The staying up till midnight to be the first call.
I was asking about what are your five schools?
What are your five schools? You cutting your list and stuff. Now these kids have 30 schools on their graphics.
Yep.
And it's just like, you know, it's just, it's different. And in a way, it's like, it's easier because, you know, it's just like who has the most money.
Back then it was five for me because I should have said five official visits.
That yes, it was five.
Now, is it unlimited now?
It's unlimited now, yeah. I mean, it's just
the
totally
text,
unlimited.
The calls are unlimited. Yeah. The visits are unlimited. I mean, everything changed.
It doesn't mean anything when you take a visit now. Yeah. It means absolutely nothing. You just like literally get a chance to go. And you're
I thought it had been changed unlimited.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
Because that five mattered. Oh, the five official visits.
It's very significant.
When you got to that step, that
absolutely.
Phase in a recruitment, boy, it can lock in. This will folks will read this. This is important.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
we'll find out.
I mean, it was just so different, man. Like, even like I haven't tweeted one time about this. And I don't know if he's going to Memphis or not. Right? Like, he may be a good player.
It don't sound like he's going to Murray State.
And that makes more sense because that's the world we live in today, where Murray State is going to have a clearer path of playing time for him than Memphis, even if they're offering less NIL. Or I'm sure they're offering some NIL. I know how Ernie gets down up there, right? Like, so I'm sure it ain't going to be for free. But, yeah, I mean, it's just a different world. You could write an article about this kid back at the CA. Back, you know, this is I'm thinking like when I was doing it like full-time. Like
was he an Ernie kid? He was not team
I don't
bad.
Believe so.
Okay.
No, I don't believe so. I don't know who he played because he moved. You know, he moved to Miami.
Right, he got out of here.
So I don't know who he was with before.
Up. I'm sure.
I mean, he was at FACS.
Yeah.
So there is an Ernie tie there because he and D Wilkes are tight. Mm-hmm. So there's no. I mean, you know, Ernie's got you know 10
across. He never went through team tight. I'm sure at some point he's a War Eagle when he was a kid.
But yes, you know, an article about this like think about it, a recruiting battle between Penny Hardaway and a former Memphis AAU coach. You know, at Murray State, you know, that would have done numbers back in the day, but now it's like nobody cares because he wouldn't play at Memphis next year. There wouldn't be a path for him to play.
Yeah, more likely, yes. Because Penny's playing older guys. Most schools are at this point.
You get recruited over like crazy in 2025. You just do. Like, you know, you used to not. It would be like, you know, you're gonna bring in a class of six freshmen. You might add a transfer, you know, but it was never like this. Where you're just like literally, my entire team is just going to be portal guys. It's just a different. I don't know if it's better or worse. I'm not sure. You know, I think it's better net because your team is on average older, right? Like every single year, you don't have to wait, right? You don't have to like build up to oh man, I finally got a team of juniors and seniors. You know, like yeah, you could have a team of juniors and seniors every single year if you want to now. You know, whereas like you had to kind of like be patient in the old way.
Yeah, but the problem is if those juniors and seniors are all leaving after 1 year and you got new juniors and seniors
that's the downside.
And you're not getting to know or see any development or keep anybody, how do you stay tied to
it? No, it's true.
You know, emotionally, as a fan, all that kind of stuff, especially if you're not getting the high level of success.
No, it's very true.
It's one thing you're making Sweet 16s with new guys every year. It's another thing if you're missing, you know, that opportunity.
No, I think that's completely fair.
But clearly Penny is trying to find the middle ground that we've talked about him trying to find. You're talking about identifying seven or eight on this team that you got to have back.
Yes.
He's trying to get to that point.
Yeah. Cal said a lot yesterday. He said he would like.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.